Let's read the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 17 only. Verse 17. Chapter 14, verse 17. Okay, ready, go. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Again, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, here, Paul clearly tells us, when come to the kingdom of God, each and every one of us should not be so concerned with meat and drink. Of course, when we say that, it doesn't mean that we do not go down for breakfast, we do not go down for lunch, and so on. No, this one has to do with what we call the arguments over whether should I take this kind of food or not, or take that kind of food, especially between the Jewish Christians and the Gentiles. To the Jews, certain food are very clean and certain food are very unclean. But to the Gentiles, they can take almost all the things, including the unclean food, unclean meat. Now, so who is right? The Gentile Christians or the Jewish Christians? So they have been arguing. And then because of that, Paul come up with this statement. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's true. It's true. In the kingdom of God, we have to pursue these three things. First, righteousness. Secondly, peace. And third, joy in the Holy Spirit. Then you'll find your life is different. Your life will not be entangled with those kind of unnecessary arguments. Arguments on non-essential, on trivial, on things that are not explicitly taught in the Bible. You keep on and argue, fight until the face become red, become blue, and become white, and then you turn away. I tell you, no solution to it. But Paul, by the inspiration of God, says that you pursue righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, then that should be the life of a Christian. Let's examine each and every one of them. First, the righteousness. Now, yesterday, remember Reverend Ron Johnston mentioned about the white garment, the inner garment. We said that is the one, the righteousness of Christ. Yes or no? But is this the meaning here? The righteousness of Christ? Yes or no? Some of you say yes. Some say no. What is the answer? This does not refer to that white coat. This refers to the sanctification. Why is it so? The righteousness of Christ is a one-time act that is imputed upon Christians upon believing in Christ. Thereafter will be the beginning of the sanctification process. And in this, he says that for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The is a present tense. It's a continual process. Meaning that what follows after? Believing in Jesus Christ. That is the sanctification. So, when talk about sanctification, talk about righteousness. That means we do things that should be right before God and before man. Of course, sometimes we have to forgo the views of man, but we have to stand for the Lord only. But if it is possible, we have to be right before God and before man. And if you look at chapter 14, verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Here it tells us how to be right with God and how to be right with man. It means to be more accommodative. There that are weak in faith receive. Now, not all of us have the same measure of faith. Some, you believe certain things you can do. Some may not. But the Bible says, you have to receive them. Of course, these things are not concerned with what you call the Bible truth, fundamental Bible truth. But on other areas that are non-essential. Now, also, but not to doubtful disputations. Don't be argumentative. Some people are good at arguing. You have no way to, talk back against him. No way. You fire one shot, he can return you 10 shots. Especially when he's up on the stage. Because he's the one in command of this. He is now. You fire once, he can fire 10. So, I mean, for certain issues, there shouldn't be such kind of argumentative spirit. Of course, I'm not saying about the certain those that concerns salvation. You look at Arius and Athanasius, talk about the deity of Christ. They argue and argue. Out of there, they came up. Yes, Jesus Christ is God. That is okay. But if, let's say, those that are non-essential, not important, trivial, don't cause your high blood, the pressure of your blood to boil and boil until one day, boom. Okay? Now, this is one thing. Now, look at it. Another thing, verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. This says that, be more understanding. Some can eat everything. Some can only eat certain things. You don't think that, wow, you understand everything. No. Show understanding. And the other one, you look at verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Don't despise. Don't look down. Be humble. Be humble. When you can stand, you'll be humble. And then, not only that. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Don't be judgmental. There are certain areas we cannot be judgmental. We may not be totally correct. And there is always room for accommodation for certain things. So, come to this righteousness. Are we showing mercies or not? Are we showing mercies? What did Micah say? Micah in 6:8 said that he hath showed me, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly, the just things, and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. Just now we say, if to be more accommodative means to have more mercy, to be less argumentative is a sign of humility. To be more understanding, also humility. Do not look down on others, also a sign of humility. Are we humble enough? Do we show mercy or not? Now we need to walk right before God as well as before man. As far as possible. That should be the rule of that we need to follow. Now, second thing. We seek not only righteousness, but also peace. Peace. Now, what peace is this? What peace is this? Normally, when we talk about peace, we talk about inner peace, isn't it? You are right with God. By the way, in this context, that is not the peace. The peace is the harmonious relationship with one another. How do we know? You look at verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Now, it's true. In our life, we have to be son of peace. We have to become a person who really make peace with one another. Don't be a person who start strifes among each other. That is the worst kind of spirit. That is not the kind of spirit that each one of us must have. Now, the moment we start with to be contentious, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Don't think that I stand on the truth. I'm the right one. I'm the holy one. I'm the one who know the truth. May not sometimes. So here he asks, tells us that we need to make peace and try to seek those things that can edify one another. Edify, build each other up. Build each other up. But what is sad is that in today's Christianity scene, we find that that is not the case. That is not the case. The Christian peace is always destroyed by unedifying arguments and segregation because of certain non-essential issues and resulting in factions. Last time I was very naive. I thought all Christians are good. Once you are Christians, we will be forever friends. But after some time, sorry for the young Christians, be prepared. Sometimes today, so-called brotherly friend, brethren, the next day, you'll be enemy. Do you know that? Everybody knows. Don't fall, because if this thing happens to you. Now, that should not be the case. You know, when we talk about these things, Paul teaches us to maintain peace as far as possible. If today we are friends because we are on equal standing, the next day because of certain arguments, you become enemy. Now, such kind of thing, you have to be careful. So is it Christian love? Is it Christian peace or not? You ask yourself. Now, how we wish as Christians in Christ, we always care, we always love one another. Don't forget, that should be the kingdom of God, where peace reigns, where love reigns. Of course, the foundation would be the truth. Would be the truth. So, don't be so self-righteous, thinking that I'm the one that is correct. I'm the one that's holier. I'm the one that's closer. I'm the one that's know the truth totally. Therefore, you bring yourself up above others and rejecting all the others. I don't think such kind of attitude really edify one another. Let the peace of Christ remains among us. Not because of certain little trivial issues, little non-essential things that separate us into factions. In the body of Christ, it's always one. It's always one. But of course, sometimes because of truth, certain defragmentation has to take place. That is a different issue. But as far as possible, Paul says it, pursue after peace. Lastly, joy in the Spirit. Here, joy in the Spirit means the kind of joy that's produced by the Holy Spirit. Now, the joy that we have is not the so-called happiness. It's not that kind of happiness. Happiness, you may enjoy while you do something that pleasurable to you. But this joy is the special it's a special kind of a virtue that is produced by the Holy Spirit. And it is there as long as you keep in communion with God, with Christ, and keep yourself in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't go away, even in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of persecutions, in the midst of unpleasantness. But there are a few principles we need to observe. To maintain such kind of joy in the Holy Spirit. First, you must know that there is no violation of clear Bible teachings. No violations. If you are clear of that, then there is joy in your heart. Secondly, of course, this is to have a clear conscience. Clear conscience. Keep our conscience always clear. Like Paul say in Acts 24:16, say that, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward man." Paul said, "I exercise. I strive. I try to always look at my conscience. See, do I do anything against God? Not only against God, against man." Sometimes we are against men. Of course, we are not against God, but against men. That may not be good also. Ask yourself, do you have a clear conscience? No. Now that you have to come before the Lord, examine it. You don't let it collect dust. Your conscience is just like a mirror. Look at yourself. But you don't let it lying down there and collect dust. Collect dust. The more, after a period of time, there'll be a thick layer of glass, thick layer of dust, and you won't be able to see yourself clearly. Every day, you must use the word of Christ, the blood of Christ, to clean it. Look at yourself. Look at myself. See, do I stand aright with God or not? Do I stand aright with man or not? Thirdly, you got to do it for the Lord. Whatever things you do, do it for the Lord. It's just like this chapter 14, verse 6 here, there says that, "He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." It's true. None of us live for ourselves, and none of us die unto ourselves, but for Christ. Now, if you do things, you know that I do this because for the sake of Jesus Christ. Of course, as I say, it must be no violation of clear Bible teachings. Your conscience is clear for the Lord. Then your heart will be very light. You know that you are doing the right thing. You will not lose the joy in the Holy Spirit, and you will enjoy the walk with God, no matter in what circumstances. Of course, lastly, the things that take away our joy is the worldly worries, worldly care. Therefore, we should be like the in the book of Peter chapter 5. There says that cast your care upon God, for he careth for you. Yes, many a times why we cannot be joyful, because here 1 kilo, there 2 kilo on top. No need it. Pull down our heart, 3 kilo, 5 kilo, and then our heart becomes stretched. How can there be joy? No joy. Cast it. Not easy, but can be done if you are willing to cast your worries upon him. Then your heart will be light. Your heart will be cheerful, like a bird flying in the sky. May God help us today as we walk the Christian walk, that we seek these three things: righteousness, have a walk that is right with God, right with man; have peace, be harmonious to one another as far as possible; thirdly, maintain the joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is worth much more than all the other things, the arguments, the red-faced, and the unnecessary high blood pressure. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Father, we thank you. Thank you for thy word, Lord. Help us to know how to prioritize our life, knowing that in our life we got so many things to handle. And sometimes we have been burdened with unnecessary strife, unnecessary arguments, a lot that take away our precious time, our sweet communion with thee. Help us, Lord, to do like what thy word has commanded us, that we pursue after righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. O Lord, you want us to live a life that is in tune with your word, in tune with your teaching. Help us to know how to differentiate what should be done and what should not be done. Grant us the wisdom. Grant us the joy in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.